Tap, okay. Hey, good to go. G2G.
G2G, not B2B. Oh wait, no, that's business terms.
Body to body.
Body to body. Well, so weird. Why not use, why is it called business to business? Why not body to body? Ataupun brain to brain. Tapi that's actually for more zombies. That's for zombies, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Or apa the cyberpunk future where we don't own our bodies.
Oh yeah, brain to brain, yes.
So the only way to communicate is via brain to brain. That's the most encrypted communication available because it is not owned by any corporation.
But what if the communication network is owned by a corporation?
That's a plot twist.
In
It was never secured, always
the
has
first place.
been. Then we restart.
Shall we start? Yep.
Yep, let's go.
Welcome to Die Out Loud, the Game of this podcast.
So,
Episode 116. And we are at the end of August, what was supposedly a hectic month for video games. But it seems like this is the only month left of hectic. The only hectic month left for video games.
Yes, because the rest have taken a week off, a month off, a year off, depends. Depends on who you ask.
The usual stuff. I mean, business as usual, lah. As some we
Yep.
say, B to you, usual. Introducing the panel, we have Daniel over there.
Hello.
On the other side is Anand. And I am Amirul Mekronos Ashraf. And hey, video games in general, they're cool, right?
Yeah,
In some
maybe
maybe
could be.
could be potentially cool video games. But are we talking about potentially cool video games or just video games this time around?
Depends. Depends.
Depends on what?
Depends on who's, what kind of topic shall we spin today? So who's going first? Who's drawing the short straw?
Short,
More like why?
Wide, yes. White straw, yes, that's nice.
For the boba tea, okay, let's go then. So, less about video games, but rather the way you consume video games. I'm staring at a white screen. No, ultra wide monitor right now.
Ooh.
It's an Acer Nitro XZ 34. 34 stands for the 32 4 inch. 2CU. I guess that's the monitor name because the monitor computer things are supposed to be named
Doesn't
as a robot. The
sense.
only thing that makes sense is 34 in there. Okay, 34 inch. Right.
I mean,
So.
it's XB247U3, and then like some orders later, okay, last stretch.
Or near replicant version 1.22474487139.
Dot.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot.
It's continuing. The number's continuing. Pi number that apa not pi. It was what, square root pi? Yeah, square root one point
Yeah,
five, right?
scared of, yeah.
Square root 1.5. Square root 1.5 is like a continuous number. But
Irrational number.
it all adds up. So yeah, this monitor, monitor's good, but what I'm surprised is this is basically my first time actually like spending time not just looking on at a ultra wide monitor but actually using it. And you know what? I have a problem going back after this.
Oh, it's life changing.
Oh no, this is you have upgraded and now too there's much. No turning back. You cannot settle for less. Oh no.
I've tasted the forbidden honey. I cannot eat anything else.
Anything else is nothing. It's pure bread. No, bread. It tastes like sand. This is the only one I cannot. So, why do I say so? First, for one thing, like right now, I'm staring at two screens. I'm looking at my OBS recording. Mm-hmm. And then half of the other screen is just looking at our Discord just to see what's up.
Oh, so, the hacker style.
So, if I'm doing this with my old setup, which is all just like 1080p, right? If you try to put OBS and Discord side to side, they won't split in half. Like OBS begrudgingly wants to like, we are taking like 70% of the screen by hook or by crook. That's the way it is. I don't make the rules. And I think this is even not 50-50. Maybe 50-50. It looks like 50-50. But yeah, but ultra-wide settles that problem. Yes, this is a very particular like edge case. And it's a very edge case that I personally have. But not everyone. But it solves my particular problem. And now I cannot live without this. The other is that playing with ultra wide in the games that supports it, or more on that later, is like, it is quite a change. You know how racing games benefit with like wider FOV, field of view.
Yep.
So that when you see more, you get to see like on the peripheral vision, how ridiculous fast you are right now relative to you in the center. So that's why when you have a very tight screen, especially like you see at a cockpit cam and it's a very tight view, you don't really feel the speed. But if you like go zoom out just a bit, like Trackmania style, double far chase cam, now you can feel like, what the hell am I doing right now? This is, are you sure this is 200 kilometers per hour? This feels faster. And that's what happens when I play Forza now. Especially on the Hot Wheels track. Like, that's quite the experience. It feels like, yes. This is, I have my need for speed fulfilled. Ironically, not by need for speed, but yeah. The other thing I find like useful with a ultra wide monitor is like playing strategy games.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see wide, you get to see more of the stuff on screen. Like imagine playing a city builder. You don't have to like go scrolling every day. You just get to bask in the glory of whatever weird contraption you have built, whatever weird city that you have constructed. It's all in plain view. It's a satisfying feeling. And also like for productivity work, as I mentioned about the OBS and Discord, right? It's also a game changer as well. Like I'm putting like my work. I usually work when I'm doing writing on the site. We have the WordPress editor on the site. The other is like the reference window for like, I'm looking at the email or I'm looking at a press release on a website, something like that, right? The extra space is worth it, man. You feel like you want to do work with this thing.
No.
But it's not without its pain, weird quirks. And that's due to the weirdness of like monitors in general, especially HDR monitors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first thing, the weird thing is, this Acer monitor advertised itself as having a refresh rate as high as 144 hertz.
Okay.
However, there is a fine print. The fine print is 144 hertz with DisplayPort cable with DP. So take a guess what HDMI is limited to.
120.
Close but not.
Oh, 90.
110?
90 is closer.
75.
Getting cool, getting cool.
59?
Oh, colder, colder.
90. 70, 75? Yeah, I already said 90.
90 70. Is the closest so far. 90 to 120.
It's 95 hertz.
Hotter, getting hotter.
99.
It's steaming, steaming. Oh, it's almost there.
97 hertz.
No, it's 100.
It's one, oh.
The
oh,
arbitrary number of 100 hertz.
Why 100?
I don't
it's
know.
Very arbitrary.
I don't know. Why is 100 hertz? I'm looking at everything.
It's either like 60, 75, 90, 120, 144.
Like even like... Even 97 makes sense, right? There is like settings for 97 hertz for some displays before. 100? It's capped at 100, which is weird. And the fun part is that I have to like look through not at the manuals I have included in the package because it doesn't include... it only include the setup setting like your... Here's how to assemble the monitor and plug it to your computer and that's it. I have to look up online to find some other PDF manual stuff and find the fine print. Like they show it at the spec sheet saying that, oh, we are limited at 100 hertz with HDMI 2.0. Okay. I spent like 4 to 5 hours figuring out why am I not getting 100 hertz? Is it because I turn on HDR? Is it like some settings like, I think there's like variable... No, it doesn't have variable refresh rate. I think it's called like VBR or something. I can't remember. It's their own kind of thing for faster latency stuff. Is it because I underclock it? No, I can overclock it for whatever reason. I'm not sure what the extreme game mode actually changes the monitor other than I can feel it getting a bit warmer. So yeah, there's a lot of weird quirks that I have to like play through and like figure out. And it's not fun, especially if you have no idea about how monitors work, gaming monitors in the age of 2022 works.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the confusing standards of HDMI and DisplayPort. I mean, DisplayPort is okay. HDMI is confusing as hell.
Yeah, HDMI
is doesn't have all.
Like, the fun part is that I learned HDMI first because, you know, I have to look at the whatever the purifier wants HDMI, right? How do you want to get the higher refresh rate? So, weirdly enough, you have the HDMI 1.4 and then you have 2.0, which is, like, mostly the current standard. And then you have HDMI 2.1, which is the weird one where it goes to 8K.
Okay, here's the thing. Based from what I've seen, what I've read, the way HDMI is defined now, the specification is that HDMI 2.1 is just the updated 2.0. So let's say a device say it's HDMI 2.1 compatible, it doesn't mean it's 8K compatible or like HDR 4K 120 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets confusing. Like from like the normal 2.0. Like the way we define, okay, if it says it's 2.0, it means it has all the latest, it's compatible with the latest update specification. But now, okay, it's 2.1. No, it doesn't mean this monitor, this display can support up to like the highest spec, the new update. Just say, okay, it's just a refresh of the 2.0 standard. What?
It's so weird. And the way they describe, you have to look at sites and the people who know the tech sites that cover this kind of stuff to actually figure out what's the maximum resolution and refresh rate combo that it can go, because the standards only define the throughput, which is like whatever gigabit per second, those kind of thing, which is useless to the common person who just wants to know, hey, can I run this 4K 60 or not.
Yeah, because it's up to the manufacturer. Let's say, okay, based on this bandwidth, we can give, let's say, HDR on 4K for 60 hertz, let's say, at some arbitrary number. That's not part of the, how do I say, the consumer, they don't know about that.
Yeah, it's less of like, oh, we can checklist this, and this, but rather, no, okay, we have a square box. How much setting you can fit in there? How much feature can you fit in there? HDR fits this much. You know? It's like you are installing a game on your hard disk and figuring out, is it enough here? Can we slot it here? It's just, what the heck, man. So apparently when I discovered DisplayPort, DisplayPort cable is just like, it's a DisplayPort cable.
Yeah, it's literally.
You don't need to figure out, okay, this cable can do what? 1.2, 1.4? No. It's just that cable.
Yeah. And also, let's say when a cable say it's one, let's say 1.4, it's compatible with everything. There is like a 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a bandwidth limit, but like more or less with DisplayPort, there's no none of this bullshit in HDMI. Trust me.
Yeah. And plus, DisplayPort in general, and maybe there are edge cases. In general, DisplayPort can produce higher frame rates.
Yes.
So there you go. You gamers out there, if you have a PC, you should be using DisplayPort apparently.
Yes, for exactly.
For the higher frame rate. Mm.
Even in professional workloads, something like workstation, they use DisplayPort instead of HDMI. HDMI is for consumer media, something that we get because of television.
Yep.
But for computers, let's say you buy a Quadro card, right? You get DisplayPort. You don't get HDMI.
Now it's
a carryover, I think, from DVI.
DVI.
Something along that line. So yeah, it's catered towards like professional and then like defined specification that you follow instead of something that, okay, we define the spec and then let the manufacturers deal with this kind of bullshit according to their heads.
But also for people who are using gaming laptops, you probably don't have a DisplayPort but a mini DisplayPort, so that's another problem. Well, time to buy a new cable. But that's it. To whatever I have tried is only capped at 100 hertz because of this sort of bullshit.
The other
bullshit about about monitors these days, right? HDR.
HDR standard, yes.
Yeah,
or HDR. The lack of it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing about standards. It should be okay, we have one standard that you follow, but no. Oh, this standard is stupid. We have to make a new standard. So we have two standards. Oh my god!
You know the one of the big things that when Windows 11 was coming up, the one of the big things, the biggest feature in relation to gaming, they touted about auto HDR.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, I didn't know the weight of the name auto HDR at first because I never messed with HDR, so like, okay, that's a feature. Okay, cool, I guess. And then now that I've messed around with HDR, now I know why that exists. Like, okay. First question. Where do you turn on HDR?
In the menus, kan? In the
display settings.
Display settings, yeah.
Display setting on where?
In the button you press, I think. Is it like that?
Oh, you're saying on the monitor, right?
Yes.
Okay, do you know that?
So what I mean is Windows. Is it Windows setting?
That's the thing. There are two settings.
Oh my god. Okay. Oh, so you activate auto HDR through monitor. What?
That's the thing. Right now, I do not know which one is the correct solution. Because, okay, I turn on HDR on the monitor. The blacks go blacker and the gray washes out. Okay, close that one. Open HDR on Windows. Similar thing happened. So what happened is, hey, I've turned on both of them. I don't know. I think it looks like the color is even more washed out and the black is like maybe darker. I don't know. But the fact that it allows you to do that and there is no like, okay, tell me, which one should I do? This on the monitor or the on the computer? There is no communication about which one should I do. So I don't know. I just turn off all of them. And then weirdly enough, sometimes I like the thing I open, like I open Forza, I look at the settings. Does it have there is a HDR setting menu. It doesn't detect that I am opening HDR. So, excuse me? Man, this is a rabbit hole. This is a mess.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Windows and like bullshit UI in general goes hand to hand for decades.
Only sometimes I see the pop up saying, "Oh, auto HDR is enabled. Hey, we have enabled HDR for you." Okay, so should I enable HDR on Windows right now? I mean, to be fair, there is an automatic setting on the monitor, but you know, I don't know, because I haven't experienced HDR before. I want to know when it's on and when it's off just to see the difference properly. So if it's just goes auto and just like, so is it on or where's the HDR here? What am I looking at? So it's weird. But then I got the PS5, I got the purifier back here, got it strapped into this monitor. Yeah, the HDR works. It just works. Also, because of the console also has the same setting. So you turn on HDR on the console and then you turn on the monitor. But with that, I do feel like it is a significant, like, I feel like when the PS5 detected that this monitor has that setting on, it just goes up. Okay, let's check the brightness. Setting, it's just the brightness on a system setting, not even on the game. It's a system setting. It just knows, okay, adjust the brightness. You better adjust because stuff gonna get washed out if you don't. And then it just works. There you go. Console is better.
Console better, Hersey.
And weirdly enough, this monitor, despite it being defaulted to 3440x1440 resolution, it can output 4K. I forgot the numbers. Hold on, let me double check. Because it can output 4K. Surprisingly enough, I checked on the PS5. The display setting, it says, do you want to output 720, 1080, or 4K? 2160, yeah. 2160 is enabled. Fascinating. Oh, it's not like proper 4K lah. It's like, wait, is it proper 4K? 3840x2160. 2160, right? That's 4K, right?
I think it's 4K.
We have two 4K. 3840 by 2160 and 4096 by... I forgot the other one.
Okay, so this is the smaller 4K lah.
Okay, small 4K. Okay.
Because so, understandably, yeah. Because it is wide... Wait, short.
Okay.
So it makes sense. But yeah, I can play 4K games with this monitor, apparently. So, okay. And yeah, when playing on like PlayStation games, I do notice a stark difference when HDR is enabled. Like, do you guys know Returnal?
Yep.
Yeah, Eternal Return, right? The roguelike game. The alien shooter, third-person shooter roguelike game. It starts in this weirdly dark forest, alien forest, right? If you play on a 1080p display, it's either too dark or too all the details kind of like got lost in the details. It's just like a flat black and a bit gray spots here and there. But when you play it with a proper display, you can see all the details. Like, oh yeah, you see it, it feels more immersive. It feels like you actually see the things that you should see. And then stuff like Horizon, not Forza Horizon, Horizon Forbidden West also like feels different in a way that when I go to the places at night and then I see the torches and stuff lights up, right? You can feel the word is luminance. You can feel that light at the place is actually being brightened up rather than, oh, this is just a light yellow tinge that is floating on top of the torch. It does actually like bring a difference. Play Gran Turismo 7 at a night race. Oh, that's something lah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the blackest of night. Oh, at the back side of La Sarthe. Oh, it is both tantalizing and scary. No, I haven't tried Nürburgring yet at night. I'm not sure if I want to reclaim my title as the Nürburgring Lord just now. For now, but yeah, that's my ultra wide experience. It feels like there's no turning back. Where can I find another 1K to get a good ultra wide monitor? Maybe I can skip down lah, because this one is like 1799 ringgit in price, and it has all the gaming features as you wanted lah. High refresh rate, even though it's like a TFT display because of the high refresh rate, right? It still has sRGB 100%, so color wise is actually good. As long as you disable HDR lah, when you are doing like photo editing and stuff. Because you know, the darks get blacker, but the colors wash up. That's apparently the actual explanation of HDR. It's not just the black goes blacker and the white goes whiter. No. The colors also wash up. Well, time to... Unless someone has a free giveaway for a free monitor.
Free giveaway.
Yeah, we never know. You never know. There's
someone sponsor us, please.
I wish.
But for now, I highly recommend not just this monitor, which I'm going to review. I will have it full in written detail at gamemasters.com later on. But just ultra wide monitors in general. It's not okay.
High resolution, high refresh rate, HDR wide monitor.
Okay, maybe the HDR bit and the high refresh rate. We can skip if you want. Save extra pennies. Ultra wide in general, yes.
Yes.
Like even I have a question. Is it IPS the screen?
Should be.
No, TFT.
It's TFT.
Okay. That's why it's all the high refresh rate nonsense is there. Mm-hmm. But that said, I'm still surprised it have 100% sRGB. Color wise it's okay. I mean, it's not gonna do like well on the DCI API. So don't think create content creators.
RGB is enough. It should be enough.
Like, if you're just doing basic as Photoshop edits or shit posts, you'll be fine. This looks okay. This looks great already. Not professional content creator level, but this will do well in that department. I mean, but still, close to 2K in pricing. I think you can, like, skip. You can get just a good ultra-wide monitor for less. Unless you want to like suffer through the HDR nonsense, maybe it's worth it for you. I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Now I just need a actually cursed white wallpaper to go along with it.
Oh, you're gonna blind yourself, man.
I should have put the big boy BMW M8 on the desktop for the review. And then stretch.
White boy.
And then stretch. White boy, yep. Put it as the wallpaper and then stretch. Look at the massive boy. Boy, howdy. Sorry, that's not an Audi, that's a BMW, but still.
Alright, so... Oh, it's my turn. Okay, so I have a question. Button pass. All right.
Team pass. That is your turn. Unless you want to pause for a while.
No. We're going to have a bit of a tangent first. Because at the time of recording, we are currently, for those in the, you know, watches TV. Yeah, I mean, who does that? Yeah, siapa watches TV in the year 2022?
Old people.
Do you know, speaking of old people, do you know HBO Discovery has realized that their our viewer base are actually, is it Discovery Warner Brothers or CW? I think CW. Their viewer base average at around 52 years old.
Oh god. That is
are you sure that's not the History Channel?
No, it's the Flash Channel.
The 30s because conspiracy.
Conspiracy theories, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's why they changed the demography with that. Okay. Cool.
So okay. Why did I make the attention? Because starting on at the time of recording on Monday there will be a new Game of Thrones mini series. I think what's it called? House of the Dragons. That's actually the name. Or according to the video I've watched by Alternate X, Hot D.
Hot D.
Hot damn or Hot Dragon.
Hot Dragons.
Depends on who you ask. The reason I've gone into this thing is because I've been playing this old game, an actual old game called Neverwinter Nights. It's a really good game. It's during the time of, is it before KOTOR? Neverwinter Nights?
Yes, before KOTOR.
Yeah, before then.
You know why? Because this one developed by BioWare.
Ah, yes.
And the second game, Neverwinter Nights 2, I believe, is developed by Obsidian.
Yep.
That's the whole bit, because KOTOR after that followed the same thing. BioWare did the first game, and then the second game was Obsidian.
Wait, Neverwinter Nights 2 is made by Obsidian? I did not know that.
Neverwinter Nights 2, Obsidian.
I never noticed that. I thought it was, okay, that's actually an interesting tidbit.
Because Neverwinter Nights is based on the same engine, if I'm not mistaken. The Aurora.
Aurora engine, is it, Ken?
The engine that powered the BioWare games before.
Yeah, the BioWare. Jank engine.
Before Unreal and before Frostbite. Anyways, yeah, Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, so I've been playing this in this mod that's inspired by Game of Thrones, called Dances with Rooks. It's basically the question. The mod creator asked the question: what if the Game of Thrones? I think it was this mod beats the Game of Thrones Telltale game by 3 years. So it answers the questions: what if Game of Thrones is a game? Is a video game? And it's really quite nice. The intrigue, the politics, and intrigue is very, very rare for this type of RPG, action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you would expect a game like Neverwinter Nights, where elves, elves, dwarves, everything JRPG, like CRPG, D&D stuff. And yet for this part, they strip out all of the, the weird magic stuff, So no elves and whatever, but just humans and dragons. And it's actually very gripping because I don't know how I look at my time, but it's actually I think I've played around 10 hours of the first campaign. There's two parts. This is the first part and I've already reached 10 hours.
Okay, but does it have actual dancing though?
No. This is very stripped back. It's very gratuitous in both violence and
okay,
it seems that's woohoo.
Because I'm looking at one of the the first things that I Google a dance with rogues, right? One of the comments that I found is for my review / feedback for the loot scenes that you've converted over to cutscenes. Excuse me, loot scenes?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, it is a staple of back when Game of Thrones first aired. It is the one of the staples that is very adult in terms of politics and for raciness.
Uh-huh.
So
what says more adult than sex and violence?
Yeah. and it is actually quite a good system. The mod makers really think it through, like very political, very, you know, we are. This is very this house is very evil, etc. While you are the noble thieves, I think we are noble thieves, but we are also involved in debauchery as well.
So you have to navigate the intrigue with carefulness and
yes,
and upper vent with elegance as well. Some may say you have to do it like a dance.
Yep. And actually, it is quite nice because this is actually the download size is, I think, like around a gig and a half. And if you, for those who doesn't know, again, I've never been touched. The packs are usually just 10 megabytes, 10 to 20 megabytes. So this pack, this two-parter, is around 1 gig and a half. So let's say you play this game in the 90s. That's a big ass game. That's basically another game inside there. And I think you have to play a rogue because, you know, it's in the title, Dancing with Rogue. So you Dancing with Rogue, you have to play as a rogue. And I guess the only complaint then, even though this game is now this mod itself is already a decade old at this point because it came out in 2008 and I remastered in 2014. The combat, or is this a Neverwinter Nights thing? Because the combat is quite janky. Because we're playing with actual numbers. So let's say you have to unlock a door. And they will do a mad calculation okay, 11 minus 10, 11 minus 7, you cannot unlock the door. Your skill is too low. But unless you try, take a few potions in there, 11, 1, 12, you can unlock the door. Is this a Neverwinter Nights thing?
That's a tabletop RPG.
Yeah, that's a tabletop RPG. Yeah.
At the very least. And I believe this is technically a CRPG as well. Although, not technically, what you say, top-down, right? It's not top-down.
Yeah, it's astromatic. It's 3D astromatical, which is it's a mixture of that.
The early and days of 3D.
Yeah. The early days. I think one of the things I just realized that it is basically the bit Neverwinter Nights itself, but not the mod. It's actually just you can see already the Dragon Age stuff from here already back in. Is it released in 1999? I'm mistaken because Neverwinter Nights is quite old.
2002, I'm looking.
Quite old, yeah.
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah.
There is a Neverwinter Nights game in 1991, but that's the online thing that was published by AOL. Online. America Online. Oh.
Wow.
Oh god, that is even older.
That's older. That's older than me. Sadly.
Older close. Than us.
Yeah, older than us, actually.
Yeah. And this is how old do you know? Because Neverwinter Nights with this I'm looking at the cover of the game. It's old enough that it's still not considered a full own IP. You still have to attach the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons name. Which explains everything. All the tabletop nonsense.
Yep, pretty much.
It is based from that tabletop nonsense. It is from there. Neverwinter Nights are Baldur's Gate. What else are all technically the D&D universe? D&D is huge. Even though you don't know D&D, you probably played a D&D game.
And Escape counts as one.
Well, also, even if you don't play games, if you read any isekai, that's basically D&D.
Japanese D&D, isn't it?
I mean, isn't that JRPGs are all descended from Dungeons and Dragons?
Yep.
Yes. It's the uptake of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep. Yes.
But rather than like the early days of JRPG, rather than let's make it open ended. No, we tell our story. We are the game master.
Yep.
So
we are the game master.
Like Konosuba is prime D&D storytelling.
Yeah. If you strip out the kawaii anime aesthetics, it's still, you can place it as a D&D campaign. In fact, imagine a D&D campaign which is just Konosuba. I think it works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, you work.
I mean, if let's say the dungeon master like make the story like Konosuba like, it works.
Mm-hmm. Funny enough, man, like I'm looking at the part two. I haven't started part two yet. But it looks weird because the first game is quite open ended. You can do whatever you want. You have these quests, like you can do many quests. But for second one, it somehow go more linear. Didn't everything like to also become quite linear as well? Interesting choices.
I regret opening the Dance with Rogues Part 2 on the Neverwinter Vault. Okay. I mean, I don't have to search the word loot to know there is loot. Okay. Yes. Okay. Good to know.
Good to know, yes.
Uh-huh. That's a heads up. Oh, God, that's a spoiler there. And I do not want to read the spoiler, which is even more questionable. It's just one word and it's already questionable.
It's given more questions than answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck with that 30-hour campaign on that part two.
Another one. Like, the best part, you can play on either this one. I'm playing on the GOG version, which is Neverwinter Nights Diamond Edition. So it's the old engine, not the remake one.
There is a recent remake of this.
I wouldn't buy the remake, but it's actually quite, which I'm like, polygon, more polygons or less polygon, which is better? Here's another tangent. Which is better?
Okay, it's always depend on context. More polygon good or more polygon bad?
If it's a racer again, either can. Like, which already has less polygons. And it's fun. But on the other hand, Gran Turismo with Forza, more polygons good.
Okay, look at GTA.
Oh, no.
Less polygon, good. More polygon, same art style. Look good? No, look good. No, not look good at all. Definitive edition? I mean, bugs aside, even the art style, this just doesn't like holds up at when you like upscale it to the modern standard.
Yeah. Like, that's a charm for the blockiness of the old game. Like, that's the charm. Because they, you know, the developers and the designers all have this own number, or this is the highest graphics quality we can do at that time.
And a new HD, and you just basically take the same thing but put it up res and everything, it just doesn't work. If you really want to put more polygons, you gotta put it at the right places.
Yeah, and not make it terrible. Like, don't make it like clay. Looking at you, Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition. Oh yeah, fun fact about the Grand Theft Auto. Another tangent. A tangent onto a tangent. Wow. We are extending time today. Do you know? Actually, it's not just the game. The all three of the games, and also the Definitive Edition, are actually running side by side. So that means there is the Unreal Engine and there is the original game engine as well. In within, like I think like built in into the Unreal Engine.
Yeah. The terrible way of explaining it is that it is plugged into the Unreal Engine. It's not technically the correct one, but that's the easiest way to just imagine it.
It's like, so basically, you have a Mini Cooper, and you put in diesel. I think there's a term, like, you put in diesel, and even though the car will run, and it will somehow, like, break down sooner or later, but it works. For the next 10 kilometers, at least.
Well, if you use WordPress a lot, you can plug in older classic HTML writing style into the new block piece editor. A bit janky, but it works.
I mean, isn't that just basically our website?
I say this with experience.
That's why, exactly, that's why. Because it sounds familiar to me as well.
With authority, I speak that. But yeah, what was the previous tangent? Because I had something.
The tangent is because, you know, better more polygons, good or less polygons.
Okay, there is a situation where sometimes the additional polygon, despite it looking not as good, is actually better. It's for people who doesn't have nostalgia for the original less polygon.
Yeah, true.
That one really, like people who never played a game and of that time, so they are not used to the now crispy UI text, the weird the jaggedness of the models, and the weirdly so dark, and all the textures are basically the same thing. Some people may with some of the additional tweaks, even though it kind of like ruins the charm. But for those who are not charmed by the first game, that's actually a benefit. So that there is a market for that, now that I think of it.
Yep.
The question is, how big is the market?
Depends. I guess, let's say if it's something like, you know, a former exclusive now coming into an open platform. Yeah. It works.
Yeah, if it's a cult hit, then by all means, try and make it as good as possible to more masses. Give it another shot. But if it's a revered classic, or you better not mess it up.
Alright, so I guess that's it for our tangents and the topic of Never Eat the Nights. Can I wait for 40 hours?
I love that the topic of Neverwinter Nights is just a Trojan horse for other weird topics. Even talk about Neverwinter Nights.
It is the launching pad to good more longer topics.
Let's keep it that way.
Yep. for good. For the greater good.
No, the longer we explore these weird tangents, the more weird discoveries we'll find.
All right, so, Alan, do you have anything to talk about today? Or tonight, actually?
I played Fallout 4 last week.
Fallout 4,
yeah.
Great. I have another tangent on top of that as well.
Okay, this is going to be a short one. So, I played the Nuketown expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped somewhere like after like the initial quest with the cage and something, and I remembered why I not quit. I took a break from Fallout for too much fetch quests. I'm like, oh god,
actualism, yeah.
Oh, you don't enjoy post-apocalypse Disneyland?
No.
The you need Mickey Mouse, the equivalent of a Nuka-Cola Mickey Mouse, to be there to make it better.
I hope so.
Hello, boys. And then a radio blows him up.
Yeah. I mean, okay. The quest that I was doing is finding the I forgot, the star cores thing.
Oh, fuck that. You mean that thing again?
Yeah, yeah, the right thing.
That.
I have to explore all the nooks and crannies to find these stupid cores. Fuck this. Took me a few days because it's a fetch quest, and after 1 hour, okay, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. And I cleared it. In like,
you get a power armor, and at the end, so I guess it's worth it.
The thing is, you only get power armor when you collect all 35, I think, power cores. At which the last one, you have to complete all the Nuka Town major quests. Then you can get it. I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm not gonna do it. I quit.
35.
I mean, I already got like 20 something, but no. The last one, the last core, you have to complete. You have to clear the other attractions and then do quests here and there. Like, you know what? Maybe later. Not this time. Kind of busy right now. If I have like 1 week of free time, I will do it. But no. It's too much fetch quests. Go here. Go there. Yeah.
I mean, it could be the Cappy one. The Cappy glasses one.
Oh, God,
that's even worse. You know what? I've done it before. That's even worse.
I completely forgot about the Cappy quest, and then when I saw the quest slot, right? Okay, how do I do this? You know what, screw this. I'm gonna do
something.
Do
you want to know? Okay, I didn't do that, but I did it like halfway, and then I just slowly watched. Do you want to know what's the ending of that quest? You get to meet Mr. Nuka-Cola himself, like the creator.
Holy shit, there is a Walt Disney there.
Yeah, there is a Walt Disney. Yeah, he's literally frozen now. And he said, where am I? Is it in the future? And then Nora and Nick say, yeah, it is the future.
Is his name Walt Nuka or something? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember. I think his name is like Mr. Nuka or something like that. I forgot.
Walt Nuka.
They really went all in with the Disneyland. Oh, God damn it. I thought it was just a face value. Hey, let's make a Disneyland on Nuka-Cola.
If you did the quest, all eight, you have to find all eight of Cappy. I don't remember. It's only 20. But you... The end of it, can you open the front office and you get to see Mr. Copyright Luca. Free, copyright free Walt Disney.
Dollar store. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney.
Because Walt Disney will always be copyrighted.
And like
Disney will ensure he will be eternally copyrighted.
That's why. I think the funniest part, let's say they didn't do away with the karma system, man. Because you can either keep him alive and then give it to the girl that give you the quest. Ataupun you can kill him. And he's suffering. Because, he's been alive for, 200 years?
Yeah.
At this point, 22, 47.
He should be, like, a ghoul. Is he a ghoul?
No. He's still human. Tapi, human in the fridge lah. Macam Mr. House, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, his name is John Caleb Bradburton, which is a parody of John Pemberton, the creator of Coca-Cola.
Okay lah. At least he's not a megalomaniac who thinks that he can design the world of the future. I have to watch too much Yifang Land.
Isn't that just Mr. House?
I haven't watched no one.
Wait. So what, do you say Mr. House is actually Walt Disney here in the Fallout world?
Let's say Walt Disney dapat build his house, his Epcot, kan? How is he going to control the many different people living in Epcot, nanti? Of course, he use robots.
I mean, the option to raise a military is there, but I can see robots being the easy one.
Yeah, just build the house, exactly.
Anyway, that's my Fallout 4 Nuka Town adventures.
I hope you had a goodie bag after that.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun, but limited time because you get bored after like 1 hour or something.
I mean, at least you can play, card because yeah. my actual tangent of Fallout is that I haven't been able to play Fallout 4 since March.
Oh, you broke your Fallout 4.
Yeah, I brought the game. Okay, I brought the game in. It's only been like 70 months.
Only 70. Yeah, rookie numbers.
Yeah, sure.
The hard limit, according to a Nexus, Nexus mod, according to the what's it called, the open forums, the hard limit of the mods are 120 before you need another core. Basically, you need another core to add more. So it's not even, it's halfway. And then like, the problem is that you cannot run, it runs. Mm-hmm. And then it crashes and then it can run, never study anymore.
Okay, did you reinstall?
Yeah, reinstall, delete the settings over.
What other files does a mod adjust that you have to like scrub properly?
Yeah, you have to scrub something properly.
Probably Nexus mod, because they do also keep like backups. I think you have to scrub that as well.
You have to nuke down to the, how does it, registry, I think.
The forbidden lens. It's the one where the Geiger counter go.
Yep. I'm brave enough to explore that, but I don't recommend anyone with the experience to go there.
Oh no. If anyone have to go, you have to like have specific instructions. Go in, backup first. And then go adjust and then go out.
Yes.
Because you don't want to mess with the registry if you don't know.
Yeah. The funniest part, kan, I actually reinstalled it like earlier in this week. Because I wanted to play some Fallout, so do the setting, installed a few. It works fine. And then there's a Windows update and then it broke.
Oh no. You broke it.
No, this time it was not even my fault.
No, it's a Windows fault.
Oops, my bad. Hey, did you know that Microsoft owns Microsoft owns Bethesda now?
My son play Fallout 76. So the journey. I mean, Fallout 76 doesn't have any problems on my PC, thank God. Fallout 3 and New Vegas, yeah, it is for 32 bits, so it just runs flawlessly. So, Fallout 4. Those packets, I've installed it twice. I have to uninstall it from my usual mod launcher, and I have to download the Nexus Media Launcher so that I can run it in the first place before it dying for the, I think, like, fifth time now. For the fifth time in 3 years, I think, yeah. So, it do be like that. Well. So, any more tangents you want to add, gentlemen?
Yeah, we can go to the news.
Yeah, we can go to the news.
Because I have a big question.
Why?
I want to ask you guys here. Yeah, so, what's up with Forspoken? Let me get this straight. What's up with Forspoken?
Yeah, that's my reaction.
So yeah, for those who are not in the know, can you explain?
Alright, so last week at the time recording, the Forspoken Twitter account revealed a new video, which is essentially like a seasonal reel of the game. And like, you know, a 30 second, or just quite nice 30 seconds. Like, oh, here's some combat and all. But the caveat is that the dialogue is the most MCU cringiest stuff I've heard.
One-liner,
yeah. It's just... And it's not even like the MCU, the good MCU stuff, love. No, it's like the Avenger 2. The just one-liners.
It's morbid time.
Yeah, it's just zinging there. Like, oh god, oh my goodness.
Okay, now I want to dig a bit deeper.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Okay, how do you define a one-liner? A one-liner of an MCU-esque, so to speak. That's the first thing. Let's figure out that one first.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good... Do you want a good one or a bad one? Ah, that's the question.
Is Hulk smash a good one-liner?
It's iconic because that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I remember of MCU, that one.
That's iconic because it is the first time we get to see the Hulk finally doing Hulk things.
What? Before that, they never said the line. That's the say the line moment?
Yeah, that's the say line. Yeah, Hulk smash, yeah. Because the whole of the original Hulk punya cerita back in 08, nope, not a single word. Because it was a serious punya cerita.
Okay, that enlightened me somehow. I thought that was just a thing that they do. Because you know that, like, when Cap goes, he's like, "Thor, you do go and Iron Man, you go and Hulk smash." Okay. Yeah, the punchline at pump.
Yeah, that's like that. What makes it iconic? Because that's the first time we get to hear the word, the comic book word. That's it. That's the comic book word. Hulk smash. Because the two movies, the one, the singular one, and the MCU one after Iron Man was very dry, cut and dry.
I see. Okay, back to the original question. At the example. Good one first.
Yeah, Hulk smash. Okay. In Avengers, Iron Man 2, the one liner.
I am Iron Man. That was the first one.
That's the first one. Yeah, Iron Man. I think my favorite one is Iron Man 2. Sir, can you please get off the donut? Out of context, very out of context.
Excuse me, I have no context for this.
That one with Nick Fury.
We introduced to Nick Fury because Tony Stark masa tu was dying of
poisoning. Palladium poisoning.
Yeah. So he lost his girlfriend. His best friend has stolen one of his suits. So he has done. He's basically done. So he spends the next morning after all of that on top of a donut, one of the iconic LA donuts. And this is how we introduced to Mr. Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson's character, with his one-liner.
Wait, he's sitting on a big donut?
Tony Stark is sitting on a big donut, an actual big donut.
Okay, not a donut signage, but an actual donut.
It's a donut. Donut signage. Donut replica, giant donut replica.
Yeah, commonly large donut.
Yeah, like the ones in Need for Speed Most Wanted. Yeah.
That's the one. Yep.
The one that you hit the pole below.
For the crash break episode breaker. Yes. Yes.
I mean, who was a good cop who doesn't like donuts? Right? Am I right?
Yep. Run away from cop. Just hit it.
Oh god, is that a one liner? God.
That counts as kind of like, because the Rock said that. Yeah, Rock said that cops do like their donuts. I remember one of the texts. Yeah, okay, yeah, the voice text. Yeah,
okay. So now hammer me with the cringier ones.
Likes to do the cringiest one. I think like one example. Walaupun it's a wholesome example, tapi it's quite cringe. It's the one in Thor and Rock. Because a Make-A-Wish punya kid told Chris Hemsworth to say this lah, because that's his final wish lah. Can you say this word? It's quite cringe, tapi wholesome cringe. It's apa? He's a friend from work, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, what again?
He's a friend from work. I know him. Because he's meeting Hulk after Avengers 2.
Yeah.
If you take your face value, oh god, that is quite cringe. Tapi, when you know the context, oh, actually this is a kid with a witch. Okay, never mind then.
Are technically correct. Okay. So now, okay, I've known the quips. I might have even done some. So what's the breaking point with Forspoken one-liners?
They spot up too much. That's the question. Because we already know. Okay, the lead leader is going to be in a foreign land. Okay, a foreign land, blah blah blah. But and I like it's deadpan. Can I say it's quite deadpan of a one-liner as well? Like, oh, let me get this straight. A beautiful and cruel new magic land, twisted monsters.
Cheesy as hell.
It's straight up Hollywood, right?
Yeah,
yes, it's Hollywood writing.
It's Tom Holland Spider-Man.
I don't know that, but the fact that there is a collective consensus that everybody in the internet have like decided that this kind of dialogue kind of cringe. Everybody's dunking on it. The fact that we have voiceovers parodying the whole bit. Oh, let me get this straight. Yeah. I'm in this Victoria London. And everybody's dying, and there's a blood moon or whatever. the blood moon one, I forgot the lines, but Funny West did the funny lines. So shout out to her.
I don't think I get what they're doing, trying to do because it is the sekarang kan everybody's loving the Marvel stuff, right? So I get where they're coming from doing like this, but.
It's feel like they are late to the party in some ways, right?
They are a year late.
We have past peak Marvel, and then they say, "Hey, I know how the wait a second, say now that we've mentioned Marvel and Forspoken, let me get this straight. Was Amy Hennig involved in any way?" With Forspoken, Amy Hennig, the person behind Uncharted. She made Uncharted, and then she gone to EA for Star Wars, and then left.
Yes.
Oh,
it is.
No one.
Any is okay.
Because Uncharted also is a very creepy game. They have those kind of self awareness, like how many people we killing today.
I remember that in Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, Uncharted Golden Abyss. Oh, excuse me, she's also on Battlefield Hardline. Oh yeah.
I mean, there's no quips in Battlefield. There's no quips in Battlefield Hardline.
So she's not
reloads.
The silly reels,
Okay, silly reels. And then she's also credited for Spoken. So, okay, she does not involve in any Marvel project. No, wait. I'm misremembering because she is only recently involved in a Marvel project.
Yeah, so yeah, memang.
The new Skydance thing.
Oh, okay.
That's the one behind her.
The secret project. Yeah, the new secret project.
Yep. She is working on a Marvel game. So is this Forspoken? It's just her stretching up. I can do Marvel writing. Let's try it on this one.
I can see it.
I guess so. I mean, let's see how Western Isekai Forspoken goes because I think who's the girl again? Who's the protagonist? Is it Freya?
Freya.
Yeah, I think Mike has misspoken with this statement. Or maybe it gone viral in a good way. I don't know, but let's see. This game getting delayed. It's not coming out this year, so take your time with your quips.
No, it's just Frey. Freya is the Noctis with your wife. Her name is Frey.
Oh, Frey. Okay.
Freya is the Noctis wife, yeah. of FF15. God, we are already confusing it already.
Wasn't Freya is also a character in Final Fantasy 9?
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah.
It's popular name because of the Norse mythology. Relation, yeah. I think.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Friday.
Speaking of delays, I think that's
Cue. Yep. We have part. I have no idea how many parts have we done this in the last.
That delays happened.
15 episodes, yeah. 15 episodes. We've done this the same things, the same bit since the start of the year. So yeah, 15. This is, I guess we can get called the game delays episode 116. Forspoken already announced that's delayed next year, so we can skip that. All right, so the next four games that's getting delayed into 2023, thank goodness. It's Fire Axis Marvel. This is a Marvel title. Fire Axis Midnight Sun, yeah.
Speaking of Marvel, God.
So the best part, they showcase like three trailers, can. Oh, here's Iron Man. Here's Doctor Strange. Here's the delay. Can. Here's Iron Man. Here's Doctor Strange. Here's the delay.
No, the funny thing is that the game was supposed to launch in March, right? Announced a delay, and then they appear around the not E3, the Summer Game Fest. So, look at this trailer. Saying that it's coming out on October. And then another delay. And then they're going to show something this September at the Marvel and Disney thing showcase, whatever. So, yeah. Keep on showing, I guess. And then now's another delay.
Next up, Spider-Man, it's Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and then the next thing they post is we're delaying this game.
One more delay.
One more. Alright, that's sad, but okay. Take your time. Next is Ubisoft's Avatar games getting delayed as well. It's supposed to launch on the same month as the movie coming out.
Okay, hold on a second. Why is this here?
Because I don't know, it's by the devs of the Division devs, so
I made this point because I believe we have a good long 10-minute conversation about blue aliens.
And then they get lit. I remember it like 2 episodes ago. And now,
you guys walk me through the weirdness that is James Cameron blue aliens.
You have to understand that was before the delay. Now it got delayed because thanks to the recent Ubisoft conference, financial conference. Yeah, this game should have been the second game out of the two upcoming Ubisoft originals that's coming out. And now it's just Skull and Bones. So good luck to that game.
Good luck.
May your tanja be strong.
Hey, you can play as a Malay pirate.
Malay pirate.
I had to watch the live stream to just see that one person full tanja baju Melayu and stuff. Just to make sure, because I try and look it up, nobody knows. There is no instance in the internet of Scarlet and Boots Tanja.
I think they don't even call it Tanja, I think.
Yeah, they call it Tanja, I think.
I think we can make our clothing be the something JT from Adika Bujanapo.
The Machila, all black.
Oh, classic. I mean that's the generic historical Malay outfit in my mind.
Yeah.
All black.
All blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Stick him in New Zealand, stole it from us.
We are all people of the sea at one point of time, so
orang laut.
Let's put it as shared. Somehow shared traditions.
Shared heritage.
I'll take back that too. Okay, so next. Is this game. It's by Warner Brothers. And some lady
I don't think she's involved at this point, but
she's just cashing in the check, it's still
her legacy, but just, yeah, you know.
She just cashing in the check, tapi it's still her legacy.
Everybody pretends she doesn't exist, but money keeps going to her, so.
Yeah.
So some people can say, yeah, let's go and enjoy this, and some people will stop on their foot and understandably so. Hogwarts legacy?
Yep, Hogwarts legacy.
Uh-huh.
It's releasing now on, is it March or February? February, yes, it's February 23. Yeah.
School's out.
Ironically, yeah. Ironically, that is actually the last month of SPM. So technically, it is school's out. But I don't think the kids, the SPM kids want to play Hogwarts Legacy after. After having SPM anyway.
Yeah, because you start off as a fifth year. Straight up. You start. Imagine go imagine rolling up to school and suddenly say, hey, you are at the final year now because of reasons, because of history and story reasons. And now you're gonna take the exam at the end of the year. Good luck. Enjoy school life. What the hell?
SPM kids be like, I play games to escape, not to relive life.
If you think Harry Potter had it rough, that he had to go through a school life and then deal with whatever magical abominations that suddenly plague his world, instead of just being a regular wizard. A regular wizard student? Is that the word? Whatever. Imagine being this person who's enrolled at Hogwarts earlier on, who have to like, hey, you have 1 year of schooling, good luck. And then face whatever, like, was it what? They imply a revolution or something?
Yep. Oh, okay. Oh, one more tangent. This is a funny tangent. Uh-huh. Do you know, in the wizarding world of Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
all across the world, there's only 10 wizard schools. So it's for Asia, this is the funny part. For Asia, kan, there's only one school. And do you know how they count Asia? Yeah. I think it's around Japan. Mm-hmm. And the best part is for us, the whole of Asia, Southeast Asia. South Asia, so China, South Korea, North Korea as well, and India. That's the only school for wizards in Japan.
Okay, is it implying that there are not many wizards around Asia, that we just have one school?
No, we have Pondok Bomo. It doesn't count.
That's the thing. I believe that in the wizarding world, there is other sects of wizardry that are not like mainstream. We are wizards at the Pondok. We do what? Shamansi.
Shaman.
Oh my god.
Oh. So Bomo, we do like what's that? We have our JoJo stands. I forgot the Malay word for that. Saka, the JoJo stands. That's us. We have that power.
Shaking my head. We are making more world building than JK Rowling does. Shaking my head.
Yeah, she's bad at it. She just thinks about British and British people and not everyone else in the world. But yeah, I rather that the people who are Warner Brothers, like Warner Brothers who have the IP, right? Somehow they make that limitation, that screw up as a good way to like flesh out the wizarding world to say, hey, maybe there are like different kinds of wizardry out there that are not mainstream.
Different school of thoughts, uh-huh. Like the Nusantara school of magic.
You can do that, or maybe like have like some parts of the world are basically like full muggles. We don't believe in magic anymore.
Yeah, like Jamaica, they have their own wizard school. Maybe like that. Actual building.
And then we have like the wizard wars, like different kinds of wizards actually like use their magical powers in different ways. Yeah, we have our JoJo stands, you have your what, your wands? Ah, good luck.
Amazing tangents this week.
No, my favorite thing about Malay weirdness mysticism is that we always have JoJo stance as a thing.
Yep.
That's the best thing.
We have to serve our stands with chicken and pulut kuning.
And then you can like transfer down the stands from generations. That should be a game, man. That should be a game mechanic. Like your persona, you have to treat them. No, that becomes just Digimon. Never mind.
Never mind. The final game that's getting delayed is the former EA staff game, Arc Raiders. Good silence. You hear here, the audience, it's our reaction.
I never heard of it.
our genuine reaction.
No, the fun part about the announcement of this delay is because they are delaying this game for another game that apparently somehow went faster in development. Like, the way it's like, oh, we have one team doing this game, Arc Raiders. It's supposedly a PvE co-op game shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they are working there, and then they have, of course, they have another team just in case. So try and do like maybe prototype some stuff. And whatever they prototype, it was supposed to be, it was said to be a PvP game. And apparently, its development on there has been going so well. To the point that, hey, maybe we can release that game this year. Arc Raiders, how about we push it to next year? Because this one, as they showed at the Game Awards, we are aiming to be this big game. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Enabled by Nexon money.
Okay, I have some like honest opinion. Arc Raiders look like a giant great value Star Wars.
You know what?
You know what?
Do you know?
No why?
Oh,
because Anand, the head of the studio, Embark Studios, is actually Peter Sutherland, formerly at EA.
Oh, okay.
Specifically DICE.
Specifically DICE. Oh, yes.
Okay. The developers of Star Wars Battlefront. No, not the good one.
The two Battlefront.
Not the good ones.
It is like, this is legally not a Battlefront.
Yep, legally not Battlefront. Basically, yeah, I think it is.
I won't be surprised that whatever new... I think they are running Unreal, right? But regardless, I'm not surprised if a lot of their tech and the way they like try to make their games have a lot of like roots to from whatever they did.
It looks very, very, right. Very Battlefront. Because you can play third person and first person, and a large field combat with many players being like, you know, grunts. Very.
I mean, it's totally probably the best thing is to keep it. Let's keep. Don't be too hype on this too much. Because, you know, it could be the next big thing, or it could be just another typical live service game that dies on year one. So, we'll see where it goes.
Like, I don't know, the Carling, Carling 2.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Anthem.
And Anthem, at least 2 years. It survived one Christmas. It survived one Christmas.
It enough to have a Christmas event, right?
Yeah, so there is 2 years. There is 2 years at least.
And then Christmas decorations never left.
Never left, yeah.
Maybe I exaggerate that, but still, the point remains.
Forever Christmas 2018. What was that game by Cliff Bleszinski before he just quits video games altogether?
Lawbreakers.
Yep, and that's it. Yep, within the first year.
Which is a shame because Lawbreakers as a game, yeah, it's solid. It's just
it's,
like
it's a shame that it tries to be Overwatch.
And because that was around 2016, 2017, right? Every shooter wants to be in Overwatch. Every shooter needs a hero. Because everyone wants a hero. No.
Mm-hmm.
there any new hero shooters these days? But come to think of it, are there anyone making more hero shooters?
Wait, let me think. Yeah, I think there is one.
Is it the Amazon one, the latest and last to be?
I think that's the last one.
That one, yeah.
I cannot remember that Amazon game's name. Yeah. But it was an Amazon game studio game.
Yeah. Is it the one yang got released and unreleased? Is it that one?
That one's
different. That one. Yeah, that one.
Oh, joy. Let me check. It's Crucible, isn't it?
Crucible.
Oh my god, that is a terrible name.
Because it reminds you...
No, you know why the name's terrible? Because it reminds you of another game. It reminds me of Destiny Crucible, the PvP mode. What the heck?
Also a hero. Technically, it's a hero in your mode. Nah. Or not, it actually got... after it unreleased and then it got shelf as well.
After unreleased,
shelf.
I mean, that's the logical thing to do. What they're gonna do? Release it back?
No.
I mean, it's better than what Evolve. Evolve became stage 2, and then still birth. Because after that free to play update, it went quietly. There was no announcement. It just like fade away.
Never feel. Oh wait, wrong game.
And then what's the? I think Epic had a hero shooter too, but they killed it.
I'm not saying it's more mobile than hero shooter.
Yeah, it's more mobile. Yeah, but the good thing is they released the assets for free, so which is a good thing.
So any student hopeful to make a hero shooter, you can now.
Wait, you say that, but then, but as any weird shady developer flip those assets and make it their own for their own commercial game?
I don't think so.
Nah, I wonder why.
I don't know because I'm not too familiar with the assets with. I think the game's called Paragon, is it?
Yeah, Paragon. Yes. Ah, okay. Yes.
Paragon.
At least that was memorable.
I think there are some massive flips from Paragon. They take Paragon.
I think there's nothing. It doesn't even dapat any standard.
Yeah, the thing about the Paragon art style is you can make a knockoff. What was the PS5 launch game again?
Destruction All-Stars?
No. The Sword one.
Oh, Naraka Blade Point?
No. The other one.
not Demon Souls. What?
No.
More input on the data. We'll zero in. What is it?
Melee. It's melee game. Godfall, yeah. You can make Godfall. Paragon asset. I think someone made a Godfall knockoff.
You know what? That work. The art style of Paragon is kind of generic enough that it cannot fit to any games. And I mean, it's legal to do so. They made it free, right?
Yeah.
So, go ham with it. The fact that we cannot identify a Paragon flip asset flip is already good enough. Right?
Oh, no. So, I guess that's it for games releasing next year. And that's it for the podcast.
Good luck for another hectic February next year.
I don't see it to be my problem.
Hey.
He says as that they all of it. All of it is your problem.
Somewhere in a developer's office, hey, look at the October release. Everybody is releasing this time. You know what? How about this time we talk to the publisher? Let's ask. This is a good chance to delay. Bring more time. We can release it like what? In the middle of February? Nobody gonna do that. Parallel. Zoom out at parallel different offices of the developers all saying the same thing. And then every time. And then we look at all the October games delayed to February. Well. Sue us. So what's on the thumbnail?
White.
Yeah, something white. Okay.
Something never
happened. Okay, I was about to suggest Putin, but I don't think.
That's the thing. I wanted to make that joke because of the meme, but then no, that has been cancelled for now.
No, not this
or forever
time.
Even.
Just put the emit.
We put the emit rather, yeah.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, it was a consideration, but then no, cannot.
No, not since this the incident.
Oh no, yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay, I guess we can put Fallout.
Yeah, we can put Fallout.
Walt Disney in the
jar. Walt Disney, yes, Walt Disney in the jar. This is no context, yes.
Walt Disney in the jar. The weirdest part is it's not that the more horrific head in a jar kind of look, but rather the anime jar.
Yes. Oh no.
Is there a Walt Disney figure?
Oh, thank goodness, no.
You know, you can't trust Disney anymore. They can do anything. Walt Disney, no, I forgot to put figure. But anyway, what else?
I guess a dragon. They're just a dragon for no reason. No, a low poly dragon.
I mean, if you say that, there's only one. There's only one answer. PS1 Spyro.
Yes. A low poly dragon, yes.
Also, good news, there is a Walt Disney figure.
Oh no.
Holding hands with Mickey Mouse.
Oh no.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Disney, but I don't care about you anymore.
I mean, you're still in the cryo sleep, Tapu.
You will wake up.
You will wake another up another one, yes. Yeah, in 2020, you know? 2274, yeah. 2274.
Yeah, I won't be around when you wake up, so no worries.
2274, so long to wake up.
So, social links and what's coming up on the website.
Alright, I have been Daniel, and you can follow me on Twitter at FL4KY, that's Flaky. I have 2 reviews already out. One for the very good Roller Draw and the Spider-Man Remaster for PC. And for the next time we'll be talking, I think we'll be talking about Saints Row. No, not the Saints Row from the 360. No, the new Saints Row.
Saints Row from 2016.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's launching literally in 2 days time at the time recording, shaking my head.
No, I was confused with that game that shall not be named for whatever reason.
No, never mind.
Okay,
Anand?
Yeah, you can also find me on Twitter and drop near DR4UPN1R. DR4UPN1R. Upcoming review. Oh, yeah, creative deck. DGC7, yeah. Like in a few weeks, 1 or 2 weeks. Stay tuned. Mac.
And I have been Amirul Macronos Ashraf, MECKRONOS. Find me on Twitter there. The review for the Acer Nitro XV34. CU. I forgot the name, whatever the name is. The 34 Ultra White Monitor will be coming to GamerMeters.com soon. And I hope you will be hearing it before we are there, but I think we can say that we will be at
Animangaki
ANG 2022. So I don't think you'll recognize us, and that's okay, but we'll be around to report after that. So
we will bring 4 buttons for no reason.
Shenanigans will be a thing, and we'll report back. And if somehow you have seen the shenanigan live on not live on stream, like live in IRL. So just be happy and laugh along to the rides, and yay. That's Dialogue, the Game Matters podcast, and
no, wow, this is so expensive.
Wait, how much was the ticket to Animagaki?
86 each day.
Per day, oh.
So it's 69. For 2 days, nice. For 2 days,
it's 69.
69. At least that's cheaper than the trip to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's cheaper, yep.
Mm-hmm. Not today, Mr. Disney, not today.